Yeah, how do I sound, Mr. Wayne? The level's correct. I'm just trying to keep it kosher. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yo, check this out. Drive around town, top down, black Benz. Of course, I'm blasting my HD radio. Monday through Friday, 8 to 11. My dial's locked on that hot talk station. Tim Conway Jr., his show's so great. OG Valley Stud repping 818. Been hearing forever how his dad's so good, but you won't find a dude who's less Hollywood. At 97.1, I'm his biggest fan, but he still needs a partner. Yeah, I said it, man. Hey, Jerry, cue up that big red mic. Make it hot. Let the stud start the show.
All right. Welcome, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. And I got a lot of things to get to tonight. Tons of things, including Adam Carolla, who'll be calling in shortly. We'll talk to Adam about his movie. He's got a couple of premieres or a couple of shows this weekend. See what's going on with that. And then Sam Phillips has brought one of her friends in. And we'll talk to Sam Phillips and one of her friends, a little cougar dating. And then at 10 o'clock tonight, Scott Sandlin is coming in, and he is a hypnotist. And he's going to hypnotize Sam Phillips, and we're going to get her to do a lot of crazy things that she, well, that she actually does while she's not hypnotized. So it's not going to be much of a difference. But anyway, a full show tonight. The star of the morning show here, the Adam Carolla Show, ladies and gentlemen. Adam Carolla, nice to see you, man.
Jimmy, always great to be on
the
program.
Look at you, dude. Hey, I was listening to you this week, and I got to share a story. I know this is the same thing has happened to you. But getting pulled over and getting a ticket in Burbank is the reason why I never go to Burbank anymore.
I know. I actually fly to the Burbank airport because I'm scared to drive there. I go to I drive to LAX. If I have a flight that's leaving out of Burbank,
right,
at, let's say, noon, I'll catch a flight from LAX, say, about 6 a.m. Southwest is a flight that just goes from LAX to Burbank for people that have been pulled over too many times on the way to the Burbank airport. So I'll fly in, kill a few hours in the bar, and then catch the flight from Burbank to Arizona or wherever I'm going.
Right. It is amazing. I've been pulled over twice in Burbank. And once they went through my entire car, everything. They took out the spare tire. They checked all my bags and everything. It's like I'm in a foreign country. And then the second time, I'm driving up to a bar on Magnolia. And I lived only two blocks away from there. And a motorcycle cop pulls me over. He says, "Hey, where are you going?" I said, "I'm going into that bar to get bombed." And he says, "Well, as soon as you leave the bar and get in your car, I'm going to pull you over and you're going to jail tonight. And you're not going to get out till Monday." And well, I said, "I only live two blocks from here, so I'm going to walk home." And he says, "Well, walking while drunk in Burbank is also illegal, young man."
Jesus Christ. Well, listen, I would argue that if you can walk, mission accomplished, because how drunk can you be?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like riding a unicycle while intoxicated. I say, if you stay up on that baby,
right,
you're good enough. Well, the trouble with me in Burbank began when I got a jaywalking ticket in Burbank. And I asked this to the head of the Burbank PD once.
Right.
I said, "Answer me this and be honest. Be honest. In the state of Louisiana, in a five-year stretch, and I'm talking about the entire state of Louisiana versus 1 month in the city of Burbank, who do you think writes more jaywalking tickets? Be honest."
Right.
Number one.
Right.
Number two, I got a ticket for walking in the crosswalk because the guy said I stepped off of the curb after the signal started flashing.
Wow.
Even though I walked, not ran, walked to the other side in the intersection, in the crosswalk, and was standing on the curb when the motorcycle cop shot across the same direction.
Uh-oh. Here they are.
My girl stealing my thunder. Same direction, and hands me the ticket. Now, here's where the problem comes. And as a gambling man, Timmy, I think you could definitely buy into this process and premise.
Right.
I said to the guy, "You're giving me a jaywalking ticket? I was standing on the other side of the intersection before you shot across the same direction."
Right.
He said, "Yes, I'm writing you the ticket." I said, "I walked across. The light hasn't even changed yet."
Right.
Said, "I'm writing you a ticket." I said, well, I'm going to fight it, and I'll probably win. And he said, that's your prerogative. Now the operative term, win.
Right.
Because you're a gambling man, right?
Right.
If I lose, I lose $83 to the city of Burbank. But if I win, what do I win?
Nothing.
Right. 2 days off of work, not paid, so I can go stand in line down in Burbank on a Tuesday?
Yeah,
what do I win? So here's my point. When I'm arguing with the cop who's the head of Burbank PD, he said, well, you won, didn't you? I said, yeah. But I said, it's like, oh, you got the Pats, I got the Giants on the Super Bowl. The Pats win, I give you $100. The Giants win, you don't have to give me $100.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's
no way. That's not how gambling works.
Well, you know what? When I got pulled over, I went through a stoplight, but one of those California stops.
Right.
And this cop on a motorcycle does like an Evel Knievel move to get to me.
Right.
He's like, you know, jumping over cars and laying the motorcycle down into pedestrians just to get to me. And he finally gets to me. He goes, you know how much danger you just caused these pedestrians? I'm like, dude, you've actually killed three of them on the way over here.
It's a wonderful concept. The doing the same thing you did, except for 5 minutes later and 10 times faster, and how he's looking out for you. I say this, though, to anybody who works for Burbank PD, I want to send out a warning to you guys. I want to say that you guys who have dominated the rape your taxpayer department, you guys have been the, you know, Larry Holmes of the rape your tax constituency department for many years, perennial all-stars.
Right.
The Cal Ripken of the rape the people that pay your salaries.
Right.
Look out. Because there's a new challenger, and his name is Santa Monica, and he's nipping at your heels now.
Right, yeah.
Sure, it starts off with a couple chicken-ass tickets and some bad jaywalking stuff, and the basic policy of soft on bums, tough on taxpayers. But I got to tell you, Santa Monica, in terms of raping its own constituency, has really stepped up. And I'm just saying, hey, Burbank, if you're listening, you may want to up your game.
Well, you know, the problem that I have, first of all, when I used to live in Burbank and there was a homeless guy or some guy in the backyard, I don't know if he was trying to rob the place or what, but when I see a guy dressed in a hoodie in the backyard at 3 a.m., I don't ask him what he's there for. I just call the cops.
Right.
And literally 17 cop cars show up in about 8 seconds. So there is that trade-off. If you live in Burbank, they will get there as quick as possible to protect you. It's the people like you and I who now don't live there and have to drive through there.
Right.
Well, but you know what? But it's also, you know what? You never see anybody drinking and driving through Burbank because that's the death penalty there.
No, I know a buddy who got a jaywalking ticket for crossing a side street in the middle of the block. You know, the street where you used to play pickup football games?
Right, right, yeah.
Crossing that street in Burbank. Yeah, there's a trade-off. Like, the good news is you're going to get your own cop assigned to you.
Right.
The bad news is he's going to write you a jaywalking ticket when you walk out to get the newspaper in the morning.
Right, exactly. All right, Adam Carolla is with us. Now, you got a couple of premieres or a couple of big showings this weekend, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to be out tomorrow night at Manhattan Beach, and then I'm heading to Orange County after that.
Look at you, and, man.
Timmy, I'm going to up my challenge.
Uh-oh.
Because I've done this the last 3 or 4 weeks. I said, come out, see my movie. I'll do a little Q&A in between showings. And if you did not think my movie was an 8 or an above, I will happily return your money on the spot. I'm now upping it.
Wow.
I'm now just going to hand you a 20 for every ticket stub you give me. And I don't need any explanations or any excuses. If it was not above an 8 in your book, I will reach into my wallet. I will peel off a 20, and you will make $10.
Wow. That is, and there's no limit to how many stubs, huh?
No limit. Now, I've issued this challenge for 4 weeks running now, seen literally thousands of people, and have not had one taker.
Hmm.
All right. That is the challenge.
But you're not afraid of the ticket taker, you know, the guy who takes tickets at the theater or showing up the next morning with 1,000 of them?
If I see a guy wearing a blue vest with a name tag on it, right. I'm going to get suspicious.
All right. Well, it's the question and answer session is after the 7:30 p.m. showing, and that's at the Manhattan Village 6 at 3200 Sepulveda Boulevard in Manhattan Beach. Mm-hmm. And then introducing the 920 show. Look at that, man.
And then I'm off to Orange County, and I've not been there yet. So I'm hoping all the white people come out and say hi.
Yeah, then on Saturday, April 19th, the block at the block AMC 30 at 20 City Boulevard, West Street. And that's a question and answer after the 10:05 p.m. showing. Jesus, how are you going to get down there? Oh, I see. It's over at 11:30. All right, you got time.
All I got to do is cut through Burbank, and I should make it on time. Yeah, I got enough time because I have the running time of the movie
right. To
make it over there. But, I've done these things for about four straight weeks. We get a great crowd. People have questions about the radio. They have questions about Dancing with the Stars. They have questions about the movie. They have questions about Bonaducci. They have questions about life and love. And I will stand there and answer each and every one of them. And I will take a picture with you and your girlfriend who can't work the camera.
Right.
And sign anything you like, and I will not leave until everyone has got a shot and got an autograph and gotten a nice talking to.
All right, well, that's tomorrow, again, in Manhattan Beach. The 7:30 showing, we'll build a little Q&A before that, and then Q&A after the showing.
Yeah.
And
well,
then introducing the 920.
It's Manhattan Beach in Orange County. If you go to thehammermovie.com, you can find out all the information. And again, for those of you who don't believe me, go to Fandango, go to Rotten Tomatoes, go to all the geek websites for movies, read the reviews, and then come see me tomorrow night.
All right, Adam Carolla, real quickly, are you building another house somewhere?
I'm working on a super garage.
In what city?
City of Los Angeles.
Uh-oh.
Why?
No problem getting permits there, then,
huh? No. Oh, my God. You know, I got to tell you, when it comes to, you know, there are things that bother you more, and it depends on the timing. Like,
right.
I was just informed through the city of Los Angeles that they were going to stop picking up my garbage.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's awfully kind of them.
Yeah, because I have a temporary power pole that I had to put up because I had to pull out the main panel and move it. And it's a long story, but the point is they have a policy about you can only have the pole for 2 months, and then they'll stop picking up your garbage, which is something normally I could tolerate,
right.
Except for they informed me this one day after I gave them $1 million in taxes.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
You know?
Yeah.
And my feeling is shouldn't I be in some sort of platinum club? You know, again, you're a gambler.
Right.
When you go to Vegas, you're in your high roller, they'll comp you the buffet, right?
Yeah, but you know what? The city works in the opposite way of Vegas. Like if you went to Vegas and you were playing the penny slots,
right.
And a guy came, and if this L.A. City was running that, let's say if L.A. City Casino, and the L.A. City...
Oh, hold on a second. Let me picture the carpeting in that place.
Right.
Because I'm seeing a horrible... here's what I'm picturing at the L.A. City Casino. Graffiti everywhere.
Right.
Like, literally, the cocktail waitresses have graffiti on them.
Right.
And barbed wire around every sign.
Exactly. And nobody wins.
Nobody wins. And every sign is green and white, like a freeway sign, and it has the razor wire around it.
And every slot machine, there's nine people standing in line to use.
Right.
Plus, also, when they see somebody playing the penny slots, they give them the presidential suite.
Right.
When they see some guy dropping 50 grand at the crap table, he's asked to get out.
Right. And then when he says, can I get a little love, all the guys at the penny slots go, oh, just because you drop 50 grand an hour over here, you think you're supposed to get some free shrimp?
Right.
Well, la-dee-da.
It really truly is run that way, though.
I know. And I've said this many times. It's something you're not supposed to say on the radio because everyone thinks you're a pompous ass.
Right.
But I've said it many, many times. I want special treatment. Like when people go, hey, man, you think just because you pay $1 million in taxes, you're supposed to get special treatment?
Right.
My answer, hell yes. Hell yes. Hell
right.
yes. And if you can find me another situation or scenario where you do that and you don't get special treatment, I'd love to see it.
Right.
Because there's a business that ain't going to be open for more than a week.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. It is the city, you know, you'll get like people say to you, you know, because I have a theory that anybody who makes more than $1 million a year should be able to use the Diamond Lane.
Because they're, good one.
Because
yeah.
they're a little busier than people earning 30 grand.
Well, they're rushing to their fifth job, usually, and paying, as I say to my mom, and here's the reason, by the way, because I come from a group of super poor people who play penny slots.
Right.
And wish they made slot machines that took slugs that come out of electrical boxes.
Even trying to limbo under the penny slots.
Right. Is there something lower? Is there something less than a penny? I come
the
from
peso
those people.
Slot machines. They're looking for the peso ones.
My feeling is if I came from a bunch of guys, like if I came from some big oil family or some robber barons or some if my last name was Vanderbilt or Hilton or something,
right.
I would feel an ounce of guilt about this. I don't. I had no advantages in
right.
life. As a matter of fact, I was discriminated against because of affirmative action. When I went to become a fireman, I wanted to be in the L.A. Fire Department, and I was told there was a 6-year waiting list for white guys.
Wow.
So I never got any scholarships. I never got any handouts. I never got anything. And that's why I can speak so freely about this.
Yeah, but ultimately, you actually benefited from the discrimination, because if you went to the fire department, you'd still be there.
I was just saying that to someone the other day, which is 2 days on, 5 days off, and a lot of foosball in between with a bunch of guys eating chili every other meal. Sounds like the kind of thing I could have settled into
right.
early and often.
Right. And you know, and when you go to the really big, big fires that are dangerous, there's so many guys there that they wouldn't miss the one guy, taking a smoke in the back and, not helping everybody out.
Yeah,
the one guy not running into the building.
I'd be the guy who's going on a lunch run.
Right.
I feel like, when you say I'm going to Fatburger, there's no one who doesn't go put me down for a double-double.
Right.
And the next thing you know, I'm just driving the back of the fire truck
right.
Through the drive-thru at the Fatburger. Yeah.
Right. The problem with going on a food run when there's a lot of stoners around is when you finally get back there, everybody assumes that they had ordered more, you know? It's like, no, I ordered 6 tacos. And like, no, you said 2. No, I said 6, ma'am. And everybody, wait, there's only 6 fries and there's 10 people. You said no fries. No, dude, I said fries, man.
My favorite part, and that's what I love about you, Timmy, I love just the skipping stone of tangential comedy. But I like when you're picking up something at the drive-thru, you got the 18 orders of fries, the chick pulls out the 2 things of ketchup and throws them in the bag, and then you go, hey, do you think I get a couple more ketchup? And she then lifts the crate of ketchup and then dumps the 750,000 packets in the, hey, buddy, you want to bring up ketchup? I'm going to give you a lifetime supply of ketchup because you asked, like, you'll never ask me for ketchup again. It's a
right.
sort of FU. It's a minced tomato FU.
Right.
You'll get that with Sweet and Low or sugar every once in a while. The guy will throw the one on the counter and you'll go, hey, could I have another sugar? And he grabs a handful, 170 packets, and then throws it on top.
Right.
As if you have an addiction now. It's like, 2 more would have sufficed, but I appreciate the super condescending metric ton of ketchup you're giving me now.
And you know what they've also done is they realize that, McDonald's, Taco Bell, Jack in the Box, they're for stoners at night. So instead of, now when you walk up to a McDonald's, instead of saying, let me have a Big Mac, French fries, and a Coke, all you have to do is muster up the energy and the brain cells to just go, 1.
I know.
And she said,
I know.
And that's all you need to do. I mean, you can literally go to McDonald's and just go, 1. And they give you a meal.
Yeah, I know. And eventually, they're going to have technology where you literally just point your elbow at one of the numbers up, one of the many boxes up there.
And, and some of these, and not McDonald's, because I love McDonald's, but some of these fast food places, the entire dining room should be toilets. And everybody can sit there on a toilet and enjoy the tacos or the burgers. And because, you know, I don't know about you, but when you get into your 40s or something, a lot of this food has an accelerator on it.
It's got legs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. The flora and the fauna changes in your gut somehow when you get into your 40s and all of a sudden... you know, just about anything this side of Jell-O or halva sounds a little harsh.
Right.
By the way, who invented halva? Have you ever eaten halva?
I haven't, but there's a halva factory out in Encino I always wanted to take a tour of.
It's Jewish candy. It's a dessert. It's essentially sand with honey in it.
Sounds fairly inexpensive to make.
It's very abundant and it's horrific. It's horrible. Like, I mean, close your eyes and imagine a dessert from Israel. Like, if you think Mexico can't handle a dessert,
right,
imagine what Israel's doing to a dessert.
Right.
Listen, all desert people stay away from desserts.
Yeah. No. Well, you know what? I actually, my wife and I were out the other night, and we had, you know, a pot roast between us. We ordered two sandwiches, and it was huge. It was out at Brent's Deli out in Northridge.
Sure.
And it's the biggest sandwich on the planet, and you got soup with it or salad before, and you're about to pass out because you've eaten so much. And the waitresses don't gauge that. You know, they don't understand the body language of me laying back in my chair there and sweating my ass off because I just ate 8 pounds worth of food. And she comes up and she goes, coffee or dessert?
I know. I love, like you got room for two slabs of cheesecake after eating a side of beef. Like, sweetie, the belt undone and the fetal position, the profuse flop sweat getting out, that's not enough.
And I just blew a shoelace with the salt in the soup. Jesus Christ. All right, Adam, we got to take off, but always nice for you to check in with us. And again, the movie Hammer, the movie appearances tomorrow, Saturday, April 19th, Manhattan Village 6, 3200 Sepulveda Avenue. The question and answer session after the 7:30 showing
introduces
this 9:20 showing, and then Q&A in Orange County at the Block AMC 30, 20 City Boulevard West. And that's after the 10:05 showing.
So, and I'll have a crisp 20 waiting in my wallet for all who give it a 7.9 or below.
Fantastic. All right, man. By the way, how's the movie going? You're making it's making a ton of dough, huh?
It's going along thanks to the good people. Again,
fantastic.
We don't have a big studio behind it, but the word of mouth is great. We're chugging along. We keep opening in new markets. And like I said, the word of mouth is so strong, and people are seeing it multiple times and bringing their coworkers and friends. So because of the people I'm going to see tomorrow night, it is going along nicely.
Right.
But we are living in a world where Benchwarmers made $56 million.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, good times.
That's what you made last year, I understand. All right, buddy, thanks for checking in.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All right, there he goes, everybody. Adam Carolla. You can listen to him every single morning on the station from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Actually, 5 a.m., right? 5 to 10 a.m. And so Monday through Friday, Adam Carolla. When we come back, Sam Phillips is with us, and she has brought in a very lovely cougar, which is a woman 40 plus, and her name is Lisa Pantone, right?
Sure.
Look at that. All right, and then we're going to set her up with young dudes. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It's the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM.